Church. Amen. All right. 1 minute. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and get these folks going. You do what you got to do over there. Go ahead and grab your blue hymnal and stand with me. And we'll go ahead and turn to 228. Man, it has been, feels like an eternity. I was looking back. I think it was the first Sunday of April was the last time we were in here, I think. Does that sound right? Last Sunday in March? Last Sunday in March. All right. Yes. So
that was
okay. We took them away, right? You know what happened, don't you? You start talking about the Packers, I'm yanking my kids. All right. Amen. Amen. All right, man. It feels good to be in here. I told these folks up here that they are in the spinning section, so I'll do the best I can. All right. 228. My faith has found a resting place. Let's sing it out.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea.
Just say this, it is, you guys don't, maybe you are appreciating it right now. I can tell you I am. I've only heard my voice for the last month and a half, and I gotta tell you, I was sick of it. So man, sing it out. It is such a blessing. Let's sing it. Ready?
Enough for me that Jesus says, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he'll never cast me out. No other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
Where's your heart leaning? My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Amen? Yeah. All right, let's sing it.
My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
Aren't you glad we have a great physician? One that won't say one thing one day and another thing the next day. You know, right? I am thankful for a consistent physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing it out.
My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
Amen. Good singing this morning. Brother Sean, if you would open us up in a word of prayer, sir.
Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful for the opportunity to be against the church, Father. We glorify you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to gather once again as a body. You know, we were doing it in the parking lot and online, Father. It's nothing like being in the sanctuary of God. Father, please be with Pastor to bring the word this morning and bless everyone who came. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we have our salvation. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Go to 211. 211. Now, let me say this, guys, because we were out in the parking lot. By the way, if anybody here ever wants an example of how to dress, all right, Brother Elvin. I love it. Amen. You see, what is that? Vibrant Latino colors, man. Yeah, that's great. All right. But because we were in the parking lot and, it was hard for me by myself to sing multitudes of songs on my own. It just is. And it's a blessing to have this. So we're going to sing a few this morning, okay? 211 Hallelujah for the Cross, let her rip, right? That is so good. Ready?
It is cross still. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's right, let us tell. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Ladies,
the grace of God be restored.
Was that last one? 209. Go to 209. Grace greater than our sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's
listen, I know normally this is where we would shake hands. This morning, before church started, I went out on the side door, and I was going to get a banner moved around, and Brother Trace, where are you at? Brother Trace saw me. He goes, "Preacher, you're going the wrong way." I said, "I'm leaving," because nobody shook my hand. Let that sink in, all right? Now listen, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do our normal handshaking, but what you can do is just turn around and look at each other and thank God for each other. I'm going to ask my family. Lacey and the boys, you guys want to come up here and wave at everybody? That'd be a blessing, all right? Yeah, come on. Go ahead. All right, you can play.
God's grace, grace that moves my heart.
breathtaking time we've ever had. Right, normally there's a traffic jam right in here, you know? All right, verse 4, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Let's sing it, ready?
Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive?
Acapella, ready?
Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Amen. Good singing. Be seated if you would. Man, oh man, I don't know that I knew how much I missed that until just now. It was a real blessing, and I'm just, I'm real thankful. Hopefully you guys got a chance to watch the video that was sent out, so you understand, everyone's going to have a different opinion about what's going on right now, and as long as we live in a semi-free country, let them have that opinion, okay? All right, so that's all right. What we need to do is make sure that as it relates to the Bible, that we're all on the same page. And I just want to say thank you to this church body. You guys have prayed. You guys have given. And I will tell you, by the grace of God, look, I don't know who gives what. I never want to know any of that stuff. But I get reports of, hey, we got this much in today. And I'll tell you this, even during our closed, you know, parking lot live stream, you guys gave graciously. And I just want to say thank you for that. You know, there's some folks that are like, well, I'm on vacation for the next month, so I won't be giving, you know, and you guys could have done that. Well, preacher ain't really earning his keep. I can't see him face to face, you know. Who knows if he really just recorded that 2 hours ago and just threw it up there, you know. And I mean, so I just want to say thank you guys so much, and for the prayers, for asking God to give us wisdom in all these decisions that we're making. Again, hours have been invested and spent on trying to figure out how to do everything the right way to the best of our abilities. I'm going to acknowledge something right now. Right now, to me, given the situation, this is a fairly full crowd, and I know for a fact we're going to have to be creative, and I already talked to Brother James about some of these creative ideas about what to do with overflow. So all I can tell you is if you want to get a good seat, come in early, amen, right? So otherwise, you'd be like, ooh, what is this creative idea? You'll find out. Yeah, that's right, that's right. But again, thank you guys so much. It's good to see everybody here. There are some who can't physically be here, have health conditions, other things. And so if you're watching at home, thank you for watching at home as well. I want to just go through a couple of things real quickly. Right now, we have no Sunday school and no nursery. I'm trying to figure out how we can make this work for the month of July. So I'm going to be getting with our Sunday school teachers, Lord willing, next Sunday, maybe after the morning service, so that we can discuss how we can do this. Brother Jose, will you be here next Sunday? Okay, you're not running those drugs to Mexico? Okay, all right, I just want to... just in case they're watching, you know? Jose Granados. No, I'm... Oh, I miss my pulpit so much. Okay, good. Well, we'll get our Sunday school teachers together, Lord willing, next Sunday, and just go over some things that we need to discuss in order to get our classes back together, and I'm excited about that. And eventually, as everything progresses, guys, let me just tell you where my heart's at. I just want to get people used to the idea of coming back here. And for some folks, it will be a challenge, and that's okay. For different reasons, that's okay. But I want to figure this all out first, and as we figure all this out, roll out Sunday school and roll out the other things that we normally do. A couple of announcements. During the, I guess you could say, I don't want to say lockdown. During parking lot service church, drive-in church, live stream church, during that, Miss Joyce joined our church. Amen. Amen. And the Haases joined our church, and that's a blessing. And the Schleers are going to be joining us today as well. So I'm honored, and I don't mean this. You guys know me, I like to kid around, but I'm serious with what I'm about to say. I am humbled to people that taught me the Bible. Do you remember the Mailbox Club, Mrs. Schlier? Yes. That was my first introduction to discipleship. And, I mean, these are people that taught me the Word of God. I'm humbled that they, I get choked up when I think about it, that they would want to be here and endure my preaching. And I'm just thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you're right, brother. You're right. And also, not to embarrass anybody or anything like that, but we prayed as a church. We prayed as a church, yeah. Good to see you, brother. Good morning, yeah. I just want to go through a couple. Listen, there are some folks that have gotten saved recently. And Lord willing, you know, maybe some of them will be taking some next steps like baptism. I'm going to bring a crane in here and then just handless baptism, you know. And just boom, dunk you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bam, and then bring you out, you know. But Kavon would be one of those people. So glad to see you this morning, brother. And again, not to embarrass anybody, but we pray specifically during this time that we'd be able to see some people get saved. And I'm just glad to report one of my next-door neighbors, Taylor, is with us this morning, 17-year-old young man. Amen. Trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And that's a shouting ground moment right there. And I just want him to know he's amongst friends. This is probably very different for him, especially welcome to church. We're under COVID stuff. Don't touch anything, you know. It's a little different, but I'm glad he's here today. What a blessing that is. Let's see here. Also, summer camp for the teens. Two things you need to know. Three things. We are doing it. All right. Number two, we will be flying. We will not be driving. It will be so much easier for me because, as it appears, it is me against them. Because, some things have shifted around with some of our plans. Brother Jose, can I tell the church? All right. The reason I made the drug running joke is because he's going to be a policeman. Amen. All right. And so he starts police academy the week we go to camp. And so I'm like, really? Career change now? Thanks, man. I'm thankful for that. I'm proud of that. That's a blessing. I've always wanted someone in law enforcement in my church in case I get in trouble. So just remember we're friends, okay? All right? We brown guys got to stick together, okay? All right. It's been too long, sorry. But I will tell you this. We've got some great young people, and I have no qualms about taking them, you know, to the airport, and it's an hour and a half, two-hour flight to up there to right across the border. Where is that at? Washington. What's the name of the city?
Vancouver.
No, other side of the state. Spokane. Thank you. Who said that? Brownie points. All right. So we find in Spokane. It's a 30-minute drive to the camp. And so we are either lining up another church van to pick us all up, or if we have to for the day, rent the van, I shuttle the kids in, we unload everything, get everything set up, and eventually take the van back, and at the end of the week, pick it back up. Either way, you guys don't need to know all this. The point is, the kids will be safe, we're going to have a great time. If you have not turned in, you ever seen those parents at Walmart, and they're like, 1, 2, 2.25, because they know they're not going to do anything, and the kid knows they're not going to do anything either. All right, so I feel like I've been that parent about summer camp because it was like, if you don't get your papers in this week, it's like the rapture. You get left behind. Sorry. All right? And I've said that like, here's your next deadline. They're like, but we keep moving the line. But this time, really, sincerely, they have to have the forms in May. You mean you send them in this week? Okay. Okay. If there's someone who has had a change of heart and is coming and we didn't know about it, we would need to know ASAP and get that form to us today, ideally, if not today, Wednesday night, all right? And so we want to make sure that we have a final count so we can get everything over to them for summer camp. So I also want to thank the teens because leading up to right before everything blew up, they had raised a lot of money. And it's what was the technique used? You remember, it's like, I'll slash your tires if you don't buy donuts. Is that what it was? Yeah. Yeah, it works, right? Yeah. So, but they raised a lot of money. They did a great job, and I'm proud of them for that. Excited to take them to camp, excited to see what God does this year. I can tell you that many, many decisions I made in my life, key decisions that changed the course of my life, happened at camp. And I'm thankful that we're still going. You will have to listen to me preach there, unfortunately, as well. So, anyways, if your church is a family, if you would pray about camp, if you would like to give specifically to help kids get to camp, please let me know. We'll be more than glad to put that money to good use, because I can tell you, we have seen kids get saved through this church at camp. We've seen decisions get made. We've had some of our young people come back and go, maybe God wants me to preach, I think. I'm not sure, but I'm willing. I'm willing, you know. And that's when I had to take Bella aside and say, women don't preach, Isabella. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I need to be done with announcements. I need to get done with this. All right, so that's it for announcements for right now. As far as developments with church services and all I can ask is that keep your phones handy as far as the church app. We'll send out updates that way through email, of course, and, of course, online and social media stuff. So that is it as far as announcements go. Brother Craig, if you would come. Now, let me just say this. We're not going to pass it around. He's just going to come around, all right, and get an offering if you have one. So if you got that, give it to the Lord. If you're watching at home and you want to give online, that is more than okay, nhbcaurora.com/give.
It's okay for me to stand there for a while and give them the look, right? You know, I think it's odd. Our country finally realized that church is essential. But I'm sure most of you all know that I knew from the very beginning that church was essential. It's kind of odd. Throughout history, Christians have, whenever they have some kind of crisis going on, what did they do? They would come to church and they would meet together and they would pray together and fellowship together, and they took that away from us. And so I'm glad that we're finally able to come back together and meet and to worship the Lord together. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you this morning, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, that we're finally able to be back in this building, Lord, and in the house of God, and to worship you, Lord, and just come together. Lord, there's just nothing like being able to meet together with fellow believers of like mind, Lord, and to worship you and to hear your word preached, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you also for those that are at home, Lord, that whether at risk or whatever the case may be, Lord, we just thank you for them. And we pray that through the YouTube and the Facebook streaming, Lord, that this service can be a blessing to them as well, Lord. We know that you're not limited just to this building, Lord, that you can reach out to them wherever they are. And we thank you for that. Lord, I also want to lift up my neighbor who was in an accident. His porch collapsed and broke both of his legs. And I pray that you would heal him, Lord, help him to get better. And, Lord, we pray for this offering, Lord. We pray that you would use it to just continue to further the gospel in this area, Lord. And, Lord, that you would use it to edify this body. And Lord, through our missions, Lord, I thank you. While we were in the drive-in services, we were able to give out a lot of masks with tracks in them. And we got out probably several hundred gospel tracks through that. And so we thank you for that opportunity, Lord. Pray that you would bless that opportunity as well. We pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, I can do that too. Man, that's a blessing. Thank you, ladies. I heard them practicing yesterday, and for whatever it's worth, they do not get that musical instrumental stuff from me. It's called Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And it's called Mom taking the music practice for years, and you know, them crying, Mommy, I don't want to do it, it's too hard, you know, and then eventually falling in love with it. And I really appreciate them being willing to use their talents for the Lord today. All right, go to your Bibles to Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. In Alaska, for those that are here, if you'd stand with me, for those that can stand, Mark chapter number 7. It is so good to hear the pages turning again. And I love that sound. Mark chapter number 7. And we're on a thought, we're on a thought train, if you will. And here's where the train left the station last week, was all about Jesus and looking at who Jesus is. Because how you perceive the Lord Jesus Christ and who you perceive Him to be, I believe will determine how you seek Him. It'll determine how you serve Him. It'll determine how you speak about Him. So we talked about who Jesus is last Sunday, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to do that. I will tell you guys, though, after preaching a message like that, you know what I think to myself? How do you put who Jesus is in one message? How do you do that in 1,000 messages? The answer is you can't. And that's why He is different than any other God that that ever existed or is touted today. Today I want to talk to you about something a little bit different, and that is the promotion, all right? The publicizing, the getting out of the name of Jesus Christ. Look at Mark chapter number 7, and we'll start reading in verse 24. I would at least have you to know that in the verses prior, what Jesus does is He rebukes the Pharisees for focusing on the outside and ignoring the inside. Let me just say this much about that, and we'll move on. I believe that it's good to have standards. I believe you ought to have some convictions in your life. But I'll also tell you this, God cares so much more about why you have those in your life than whether or not you have them in your life. God cares about your heart. And Jesus addresses that for several verses prior to that. But in verse 24, I want you to look at this. And from thence He arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it. That's curious. Why did He not want anybody to know? Now, if you study the scriptures, you find out that it's because His time was not yet come. All right, His time for revealing who He was and who He is was not yet come. Having said that, it's just interesting to me that He didn't want anyone to know, but look what it says in verse 24 at the end. I like that. You can't hide Jesus. You understand, when you are living the life of a believer, do you know what happens? Even sometimes when you're trying to sort of, you can't hide Jesus. Look if you would at verse number 31. And between what we just read in verse 31, He heals a woman's daughter, a woman that was a Syrophoenician. She's a Gentile, and her daughter has a devil, and He heals that daughter just by speaking the word. But look at verse 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, He came into the Sea of Galilee. Now He's back with His own people through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. And I want you to notice, this is interesting. He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers into his ears. God, I want you to heal me, but just not that way, right? I mean, if someone's like, hey, this guy can heal you, and you can't hear, and all of a sudden he's like, boink, what would you do? You know? And it says he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. So much about this goes against public health department criteria right now. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And again, verse 36, I find this so interesting. He charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal, they published it. And we're beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. Can't say that about anybody else on this planet, but they said it about him. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I want you to concentrate on verse 36 at the end there. The more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Father, this morning, we need you. Lord, we ask for your help. Lord, I plead that all distractions, Lord, not just ones that might physically be here, but Lord, even mentally and spiritually, Lord, you'd help us to put all those distractions aside. God, I pray for those that could not be here this morning, or some are still dealing with sickness and some for other reasons just cannot be here. Lord, I pray you'd be with all of them. And God, I thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning as we are. God, we want to get our eyes off the world. We want to get focused on Jesus Christ this morning. God, I pray you'd help us to see the importance of promoting Jesus in this world. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have in us, Lord, some things that these people had. Even when told not to speak about Jesus, they just couldn't help it. Lord, we love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you would. I want to just remind you that the mission of Jesus Christ is to seek and to save that which was lost. And if the goal of your life, and the Bible says, listen, the Bible says that we were predestined not to be in heaven or in hell, but we were predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So every day that we live, our lives should realign. And I say realign because let's be honest, none of us wake up in the morning feeling spiritual. None of us wake up going, yeah, man, I just can't wait to sacrifice and give up and crucify my flesh and live for God today. We wake up going, I need coffee. I am hungry. Why does it pop like that? Am I right? Man, I don't feel good, right? We have to realign ourselves from the moment we get up to the life and image of Jesus Christ. But if his mission is to seek and to save that which was lost, understand that is something that takes an investment of time and travel and talents and treasures. And Jesus did that during his life. Aren't you glad that he did? If he did, none of us would be here right now. He says this to his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And he encourages his disciples to look on the fields for their white already to harvest. His goal was to reach, to redirect, to repurpose, and redefine the lives and souls of men and women on this planet. I want you to think about this. You are here, you are breathing right now for God's pleasure. The reason God allows you to continue to breathe. You ever thought to yourself, man, I'm not even thinking about breathing, I'm just doing it. God gives that to you. That is the breath of life, inspiration of the Almighty. And the reason you are breathing right now is so God can look over the precipices of glory and look down and go, man, I like that. You say, what is that? We are here for the pleasure of God. Now, that may sound humbling, like, man, I exist to please somebody else. I didn't know that. I don't like that. Well, listen, you got all these people that are looking for themselves and search. I'm going to go search. Listen, don't go searching for yourself. You may not like what you find, all right? Go looking for truth, and you'll come to the end. You'll find Christ. But as you live your life and you dig in the scriptures, what you find out is that we were created for his pleasure. That is why we exist. Hey, young people, you've got your lives ahead of you. All right, listen, you exist for his pleasure. If those friends don't please him, get new friends. If the music doesn't please him, get new music. Listen, if your habits don't please him, form some new habits. And let me just say this, if you're young, man, this is the greatest time in your life to do it. Because when you get old, you get crusty. And when you start moving, you just break, all right? So start moving now. Start changing some things now in your life. I'm trying to help you, seriously. But you are here to please God. And if you're here to please God, you know what we ought to ask ourselves? What pleases God? I mean, that's a good question, right? If you say, you know, listen, I'll tell you what, right now, I just saw Chick-fil-A became the second highest in revenue in the fast food industry. God bless Chick-fil-A. They have a line of 100. It's almost like the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You could have a line of like 200 cars and in like 5 minutes. It's like, woo. They got through the line. Like, how did that happen? Where did the chicken come from? But you know what they say when you get your food and you say, thank you? What do they say? What do they say? That's right. You know what you ought to say when God says, here's what I want you to do? My pleasure. You know, we try to teach our kids, and every one of them is different. We try to teach our kids, hey, it's not just about doing what you're told, but doing it with a smile. Right? You say, why? To teach them, hey, we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for God. And if we exist for him, we got to ask ourselves, what is it that puts a smile on his face? Hey, listen, I want you to go in your Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 3. I want you to see, people say all the time, I wish I could hear God speak from heaven. I'm about to allow you to do that. You ready? Matthew chapter 3, and no, I'm not saying I'm God. I'm just saying we're going to read some places in Scripture where God speaks. Matthew chapter 3, look if you would, at verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven on the way to church, me and Taylor were talking about the baptism of Jesus Christ there, where John the Baptist baptized him. Look what happens here in this passage. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All right, look if you would at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to notice a pattern. If you don't know where we're going, most of you probably are starting to figure it out. But God the Father, when he decides to, I'll say it this way, when he decides to show up during the life and ministry of Christ, and he doesn't do it a lot. It's limited in the New Testament. Matter of fact, we're looking at him right now. But when he shows up, he says the same thing in every occasion. Look at Matthew 17 in verse number 5. You see what's happening there? They go up on a high mountain, the mountain of transfiguration, where there's Jesus. You know, the disciples fall asleep. They wake up. It's like, you know, sometimes in church, you fall halfway through. Oh, yeah, he's still going. It's been 2 hours, you know. And there's Jesus, and then there's Moses, and then there's Elijah. By the way, 4 years I've told my church the story of Brother Billy Haas at a church in Texas, and a deacon takes off his watch and swings it like this. And you know what he does? He just keeps preaching. And at the end of the message, the guy goes, didn't you see my watch? He goes, oh, I saw it. Matthew 17, look at verse number 5. While he yet spake, Moses, Elijah's there, Jesus is there. Peter goes, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Like we should say this morning, amen? It is good for us to be here. And then all of a sudden, Peter's like, you always got one of those guys, right? You know, everything's going good. They're just overly ambitious, and they just got to say something, even though you really don't have to say something. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Please give me a nod. All right. If you spend any time on social media, you know what I'm talking about. All right. And so Peter goes, I got an idea. Let's build 3 tabernacles. And God the Father goes, shut up. I mean, sort of. He ignores. I mean, guys, if you were to get up and go, I got this great idea for our church. And I was like, anyways, so next week. And that's kind of what God the Father did. Peter's like, I got this great idea. And all of a sudden the clouds roll in and God the Father says, look at it says in verse number 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But he adds 3 words here that he didn't say the last time. Hear ye him. In other words, shut up, Peter. Don't you like that? The Lord is so subtle. Hear ye him. So you know what you ought to do? Lord, I know this much. So far, Jesus pleases you. So I'm going to listen to him. And I'm going to watch what happens around his life and ministry. Go to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. As you turn there, I'll remind you that Peter, his second letter, speaks about the experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, For he received from God the Father, Jesus received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice in from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. That stuck in Peter's mind. He never forgot it. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. There came a voice from heaven saying, thou. He's talking to Jesus now. Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Wow. Here's the point in looking at those scriptures. You want to know what pleases God? His Son, Jesus Christ. So you know what would be a good thing to do? To line up your speech and your spirit and your soul's mission with that of Christ. His was to seek and to save that which was lost. His life was all about that. His life. Listen, when his disciples would say, aren't you hungry? Not now. Hey, aren't you tired? Maybe later. Hey, don't you want it? It's time to pray. Why? It was all about others. And those that were around him, you know what they did? They promoted him. See, what does that mean? They talked about him. They couldn't help but speak and publicize the name of Jesus Christ. The definition of promotion from 1828 Webster's Dictionary, the act of promoting advancement, encouragement as a promotion of virtue or morals, the promotion of peace or of discord, exaltation in rank or honor, preferment. Here's the idea. If you prefer Jesus in your life, any of you here saved this morning? Amen. Do you prefer him over the world? Prefer him over false religion? Prefer his righteousness over your self-righteousness? Then guess what you ought to do? You ought to promote him and talk about him and speak about him and sing about him and exalt him and worship him and honor. You see what am I talking about? Where everywhere you go, they should go, man, that guy never stops talking about Jesus. Amen. What a great testimony. Sort of like a Jesus freak. Thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment. Look at me, if you would, go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. I just want you to look at some scripture by way of introduction. Some of you going, this is introduction? Yeah. Acts chapter number 8. I don't have the sun beating down on me now, so I can go a little longer. You guys realize we lived through four seasons in the last month and a half? I experienced blizzard, snow. I did it all for my church, you know. Blizzard, snow, dodging rain, and beating down sunshine, but man, it was great. I wouldn't trade for anything. Acts chapter 8, look if you would at verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Look what he did. He preached Christ. He didn't preach politics. He didn't preach, you know, current events, and he could have. He preached Christ unto them. Acts 8, verse 35, the Ethiopian eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And it's so simple. It's not that complicated, guys. He preached unto him, not some strange far out doctrines. And there are some in the Bible, no doubt. Not some deep mystical thing about the third heaven and the Leviathan that slithers through and, you know, breaks through. And the type is in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel comes out of Egypt and they cross the Red Sea. And we could do that. But guys, he didn't do anything. You know what he did? He just preached a simple message. It was about one person and his name was Jesus. Look, if you would, at Acts chapter number 9 in verse number 20. Acts chapter 9, listen, if I can encourage any of you that have recently gotten saved, and or maybe you're younger in your walk with Christ, maybe you've been saved for years, but it wasn't until recently that you started going, man, I believe that book, and I'm going to try to start living by that book, and you've started to grow. Can I encourage you to do something very simple but very profound, and that is do what the Apostle Paul did. Look at Acts chapter 9. In verse number 20, after which time he got saved, you say, what great mysteries did he know? Well, none yet. He would have them revealed directly to him. But look at Acts 9, verse 20. Right after he got saved, look at verse 20. And straightway, you know what straightway means? Right away. Straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. You see, on what authority does Paul do that? I'll tell you what authority does it. I just met him personally. He changed my life. Let me tell you how you can change yours. Boy, sometimes we think that we got to have a Bible school degree or some degree in theology before I have to know every doctrine of the Bible before I open my mouth for Jesus. Let me say this. You will learn more Bible when you start opening your mouth. You will have questions thrown at you and you'll go, I don't know how to answer that. And you'll go back to this book and God will teach you. But don't wait until you're a quote unquote Bible scholar to simply tell other people what Jesus has done for you. Acts 17, look at me there if you would, later on in Paul's ministry. He's had a little bit of time now as a believer. And I want you to notice that in Acts 17, in verse 18, he's in this place called Athens, and his spirit is stirred because all they want to do is learn about some new thing. And in verse 18, later in it talks about the Epicureans and the Stoics and how they encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? I got to be honest with you guys. The average American today, if they watch biblical preaching, you know what they're going to call it? Babbling. What is that guy doing up there? And who in the world is going to sit there and listen to that for an hour or longer? What will this babbler say? You know what he said? Look what it says later on in the verse. You know what he does? He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Can I stop you for a moment and remind you? Paul himself, listen to me, this is important. Paul had mysteries revealed supernaturally and directly to him that nobody else knew about in the Old Testament. That would make you kind of a big deal. If God's like, hey, here, come over here. I got something for you. Nobody else knows about this. I'm going to give you this mystery. Oh, don't worry. I'll give you a thorn in the flesh later on. Oh, what's that all about, Lord? Oh, no, don't worry about that right now. We'll talk about that later, okay? Amen. Isn't that how that works? If God told you everything that would happen when you got saved, that would happen in your ministry, would you have done it? Probably not. Probably not. So Paul goes, Lord, what do you got? I've got this mystery. Give me more. And God gives him the mystery of the church and the mystery of the rapture and the mystery, all these different mysteries. Again, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and all these different mysteries that we find in the New Testament. And yet with all that Bible knowledge, you know what he's known for? I just got one message. I like talking about Jesus and his resurrection.
Amen.
Look, if you would, at Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. That's why Jesus is not just a man, he's God. Preached unto the Gentiles. Aren't you glad he was preached unto the Gentiles? Acts 11, look if you would at verse number 20. The Bible says here, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Those first century Christians that shook the world, they did it without tablets. They did it without cell phones. They did it without Wi-Fi. Right? There's no texting. They turned the world upside down. We have to ask ourselves, are we as passionate about promoting Jesus? Are we as purposed about promoting him? Are we as pointed in our efforts? Are we pleased with promoting him? Many of you know I like to alliterate, so some of you are going, that was four. I think we're done. We're not done.
Amen.
But are we? I mean, is it like my life's goal to say, I just want to find someone to tell them about Jesus? This morning when I wake up, and I woke up late, and I should have gotten up earlier, and now I'm tempted to be in a bad mood. Let me just stop and say, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my... I just want to think about him. I want to sing about him. I want to talk about him. I want to promote Jesus in this world. I read this. It is easy to determine when something is aflame. This is deep. It ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. Sometimes we build little campfires, bonfires in the backyard, and, you know, mom is like the fire marshal, right? She's like, ooh, too high, too hot. Mitter, put a little bit of water. Let's take no more. And the kids are like, burn it. But, you know, if something sits long enough, if the dog sits long enough, throw it in the fire. I mean, they're all about just building the fire, you know. And you can see them grabbing pine sticks and grabbing throwing it in there. You say, why? May God keep that thing going. Let me say this. When it comes to your love for talking about Jesus Christ, you got to stoke that thing every once in a while. You got to make sure there's still a heart that's beating there. Check your pulse this morning. Isn't it weird? I think it's weird. That in our story, Jesus says, hey, don't tell anybody. And they're like, oh, yeah? We're going to tell everybody we know. Fast forward 2,000 years, and the Lord's like, hey, here's this thing called the Great Commission. Go tell everybody. And you're like, let's go back to Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. What kind of people does God use to promote him? How about people whose lives are a mess?
Yeah, thank God.
Amen. I want to start off, for number one, all right, if you're taking notes or if you're taking points on how long this is going to be either when, all right, point number one is the mess. The mess. I want you to look at this guy. He is in a mess. Look, if you would, at verse number 32. What do we know about this guy? Here's what we know. He's deaf and he can't talk. That's all we know. Can I ask you a question? What's his name? See here, in the originals, it says one. See, what do you mean? Well, because it's what it says in my Bible. It says they bring unto him one that was deaf. That's all you know about him. He's a mess because, you know what he is? He represents us. I know this is going to sound really harsh for some of you. If I die tomorrow, there'll be some people that will weep over my grave and will miss me and... Every time I say something like this, my wife chastises me. Why are you talking about that? But truly, there'd be people that would grieve, but the world would continue to move. Do you realize as far as the masses of people are concerned, 7 billion people plus on this planet, most of us are unnamed as far as the world is concerned. Yeah. They don't know who you are, and frankly, they don't care. I'm glad I have a Savior that counts the number of hairs on my head. And for some of us, it's easier for him to do that. Amen. And don't worry, I'm not making fun. Look, it's starting to roll back. Lord's going, yep, there's a little bit less there, son. But you know what you are? You're unnamed. One that was deaf. Let me ask you a question. What is that? The name of that great woman of Shunem? 2 Kings 4, what's her name? Yeah, we don't know. How about a certain woman earlier in this chapter? Look at verse 25. What's her name? We don't know. How about the young maiden in 2 Kings 5 or that poor widow woman in Mark chapter 12 that gives all she has or the wise men? We don't know their names either. Or the centurion that stands there and watches Jesus Christ die and he says, truly, this was the Son of God. Can I tell you why it doesn't matter what their names or our names are? Because it's not about us. It's about him. And the Lord looks at us in our mess and looks at us being unrecognized and unnamed as far as humanity is concerned. And he goes, you know what? I can use that. Common thread with all those people I just mentioned is that their identity and their importance and their immortality in the scriptures is tied to the person of the Lord, not to themselves. Can I say this about this man and the reason he's in a mess? He's not just in a mess, he is a mess. You ever heard someone say, that person is a hot mess? I would say that includes all of God's people. I mean, we're weird. You got to admit, we're weird, guys. You know, like I'm going to heaven, I can't wait to get there, you know, and then I get in a traffic jam and I'm flipping somebody off in Jesus' name. Come on, don't tell me, oh, no, preacher, I would never do. Oh, okay, all right. You do it in your mind if you don't do it with your hand. And some of you are looking down right now, counting your toes, and man, oh, it's getting hot in here, isn't it? Yeah. We're weird, though, man. There are things that we just, it's hard. We're sort of like schizos in a way. Sometimes you're like, man, I can't wait to learn more about God, and I'm so close to Him. And sometimes you doubt your own salvation. Am I making any sense? You see, what is it? We're unable. I want you to notice in verse 32 that this man could not get to Christ himself. Someone had to help him. I want you to think about who helped you get to Christ. Whew. Oh, I got one right there. We're unable. I was talking with an employee of mine. I was actually on the phone with my wife, walking around the building, getting some fresh air. And you know when you glance and you just see somebody, and you see someone, you know, coughing or doing whatever, I could just see looking down in tears. And so after I'm done talking to my wife, I said, okay, Lord, give me some wisdom. Help me to do this the right way. I don't want to, you know, I'm the boss. And so I sat down and I said, this is your lunch break, right? Yes. So you're off the clock? Yes. Great. You know, one of the hardest things for this individual who I'm praying to get saved, you know, she's reading through some of the Bible right now. Would you pray for her to get saved? One of the hardest things for her to wrap her mind around was, so my grandma, she's a really good person, and she goes to church, and she's always talking about God. And I said, look, if she's trusted Christ as her Savior, she's saved. I don't know if grandma's saved or not. I can say that. But the hardest thing for her to wrap her mind around was, so you're saying no matter what I do, I can't fix me. I need somebody else to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, but I can't even bring myself by myself to the person that can fix me. Listen, if we were honest in this room, anyone that saved had somebody that helped sort of hold their hand and bring them along to know who Jesus was. If you're saved, and I'm looking back at Brother Duncan as well, and I got to tell, this is a great story. He goes, man, I got to get some church clothes. You look sharp this morning, by the way. And we were talking, and I think about, man, different people in this room who've gotten saved as a result of the ministry of this church. And even if you were not the one that led them to Christ, you gave and you prayed and you helped support this preacher so that I could be there for them. Listen, we all have a part in this. And if you're saved, you understand that somebody brought you along. You didn't get there on your own. I like the story in Mark 2. I might have you turn there. Go to Mark chapter number 2. We're unnamed. We're unable. Mark chapter number 2, just a few chapters back. My wife's got me on this intermittent fasting thing. Quarantine was, you know, starting to grow in more ways than spiritual. Expanding for the Lord, amen. And my wife goes, honey, she didn't really do that. She I'm just picking on her. But she did this intermittent fasting thing. So I said, oh, that's working. Let me try that. So here's the deal, guys. I didn't eat anything today. So I can assure you this much. If anyone's praying that we finish this quickly, it will be because the Lord strikes me with hunger really bad. Okay? But I want you to look at Mark chapter number 2. I miss my church, guys. I miss just being goofy with you. I miss seeing your faces. I just miss, this is such a blessing. Mark chapter 2, verse number 2. And straightway, look at this. Many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. They were not practicing social distancing. They were crowded. They were pushing in elbow against elbow. And here's what it says. And he preached the word unto them. You know what happens when you draw a crowd? Preach about Jesus. And that's what Jesus does. He preaches. And in verse number 3, they come to him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. You know where Jesus is? Inside the house preaching out. Can you imagine? He's on point number 2 of his 4-point outline, and all of a sudden some dust starts falling on his head, and he backs up and he goes, well, that's interesting. I didn't make that one happen. I mean, there's some stuff that happens, and everyone's like, oh, no, we're all going to die, the storm and the wind. He's like, it's fine, no big deal. But this time he looks up, he's like, that one's not me, guys. And you say, what happens, man? That roof is broken up, and those four, there were four men who are also unnamed that took this man. We don't know who those four guys were, but they took a man who could not walk on his own, and they climbed up a roof with this man on a bed, on a stretcher, and miraculously got him up there. And let me point out to you, Jesus could have, he could have used his x-ray vision and gone, you know what, I'm going to make this easy and blow a hole in the side of the wall and just vacuum the sinner in here. He doesn't do that. He lets those guys sweat it out like he calls us to do as well in reaching other people. And put the effort in and climb up that way and then break that roof up with the tools that they had available and drop that guy down. Talk about delivering, man. It's like Uber for sinners. Here you go, dropping a sinner right down. There you go, Jesus. What are you going to do now? And he heals him. You say, what was that man? That man was unable. He was made able by others. You know what the man in our story is in Mark 7? He's unknown, and he's unhelped. Over there in the Gospel of John, when somebody gets saved or when someone's inquiring about Jesus, I always encourage them to read the Gospel of John. And in John chapter 5, there's a story about a man that's lame, and there's a group of people that are blind and halt and withered. I mean, when the Bible describes someone as withered, I mean, man, that just sort of paints a mental picture of, as far as society goes, they have no use. But in God's eyes, they're precious souls. The Bible says about those that were gathered there that an angel would come down and trouble the water and stir that water. And when the angel would do that, those folks would run down in there. And it was basically first come, first serve, like the seating's going to be here at New Heights in just a couple weeks. And whoever got in that water first came out, yay, I'm healed. But there was one guy who day after day and week after week, the tears would stream down his face. And he would ask, hey, can you just move me a little bit? Hey, I just need someone to pick me up. I won't bother you after that. Just get me in that water. I know I'll be better. Nobody wants the liability of dealing with the sinner whose life is a mess. Because if I take time with him, I have to take more time with him, and I'm busy, and I've got my life, and I've got my issues, and you realize this is what God has called us to. And that impotent man says to Jesus, when Jesus looks him in the eye and he says, wilt thou be made whole? That impotent man says, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. You know what this world is looking for? Someone to step in. Aren't you glad when you were unable and you were unhelped that somebody helped you get to Jesus? David says it this way, I looked on my right hand and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Aren't you glad for the song? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind and true. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, he cares. Aren't you glad he cares when we were a mess? And you know what you are? You're either a lost mess or you're a saved mess. It's a whole lot better being a saved mess, but you're still a mess. You say, who does God use? He uses people like this man in Mark 7. Go back there if you would. We see the mess. How about the method? What is the method? You know what I've often thought about? God, if you really wanted this done right, you'd have angels do it. I mean, if you really want it done right, what about those 24 elders and the cherubims that are before the throne of God and they cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And you say, what happens when that soundtrack is over? It starts again. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And nobody ever gets tired of hearing it up there. You say, we got a great one. Here's one straight from the top 40. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I thought that was yesterday, and it will be yesterday and tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. You say, why? They never get tired of it. If God wanted it done right, I think of this, he would have angels do it, but he didn't ask angels to do it. You know the method that God uses in helping other sinners know about him and promoting him? Look, if you would, at verse 32. And they, bringing to him one that was deaf. Who's they? We don't know. It doesn't matter. They is the still is the same they as them in verse 36. And he charged them that they should tell no man. You see what happens here? They bring unto him one that was deaf. You know what the method is that God uses? He uses one sinner to reach another sinner by this sinner talking about what Jesus has done in his or her life. You know, there's all kinds of ideas on how we can reach people today. I have people tell me, you know, young people, they won't hear the gospel. That's not true. I have people say, well, you know, you got to change this, you got to change that. And then, hey, listen, let me just say this much. The Bible is still effective. The gospel is still, Jesus has not changed. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you know what we preach? We preach the same message that was preached 2,000 years ago. And the method that God still uses is one sinner promoting Jesus to another sinner. Listen, in the Old Testament, the Jews, they got real smart and they go, you know what? It would be a lot more convenient. It would be a lot less costly. And it would cut on time if we took the Ark of the Covenant and we just put it on a new cart. And let's put it on a cart instead of you Levites having to carry it. Aren't you guys tired? Yeah, you know, you have a point. Wouldn't it be more convenient just to do it this way? And I mean, you guys are, my shoulders are, now that you mention it, my shoulders are tired. My legs are tired, man. You know, yesterday I had little Ethan working with me in the garden and all the kids were awesome yesterday. They were cleaning cars. They were gardening. You say, why? They wanted this. And here was the offer. We're going to wash your car for either 4 cents or $4. I'm like, can I do 4 cents? And then Ariana comes in. She's like, I'm going to pay each one of you $4. $4 for you and $4. I'm like, shut up. Don't give me any ideas. Yesterday, we were working out in the garden, and Ethan's just pounding this thing. And I said, let me see your muscles. And he goes, I can't because I just slept. Those Levites probably said, you know what? We're tired. We're tired of carrying this thing around. And maybe there is a better way of doing this. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I don't ever talk to anybody ever again. And I can just lead them to Christ through text. Now, I'm not against using any bit of technology you can to help other people come to Christ. I'm all for it. But I will tell you, there is nothing like you looking in the eye of somebody else and going, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. He changed my life. We don't need a new method. Look, if you would, at John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. John chapter 1. I want you to see this for yourself, guys. This is interesting. John chapter number 1. John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him, that's John the Baptist, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him, look at this, underline it, highlight it, circle it, do something. And he brought him to Jesus. You say, well, it's the Spirit of God that draws people to him. Yes, but he uses people. The method is still one sinner promoting Jesus to another sinner. Let me ask you, who have you promoted Jesus to this week? How can you do it differently this next week? Let me show you guys that without Andrew doing this, you don't have verses like, feed the flock of God. You don't have verses like, you don't have the story of Jesus looking in the eyes of that disciple saying, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. Feed my lambs. You don't have that in there without Andrew going and getting his brother. Do you think for a moment Andrew's like, you know what? I'm going to bring Peter because his name's going to go down in history and everyone all over the world is going to know about St. Peter and it's going to be a big deal and I'll be his brother and they'll know me because I'm Peter's brother. I don't think he knew that for a second. He just goes, man, if anybody needs to meet this guy, it's Peter. Guy never shuts up. He's always swearing. He always gets in trouble with his mouth. So if anyone can help him, it's this Messiah guy. He brought his brother. I want you to notice the next day, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and say to him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip, look at this, findeth Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, hey, listen, I don't know a lot of Bible. Come check it out for yourself. Come and see. You know what the method is that God used? The same one he uses 2,000 years later. I want you to understand, guys, and I'm not going to look at all the scripture, but in Luke chapter 5, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, they get brought into it. And it's just one person telling another and reaching out to another. You say, what is that? It is the most simple ministry you could have. You say, what is it called? The come and see ministry. I like stories about a man named D.L. Moody. Anybody know who D.L. Moody is? D.L. Moody, for those that don't know it, I tell you what, study him. Great man of God. Interesting character. People say all the time, you know, I want to learn about Baptist history. Great, wonderful stuff there. But I'll tell you what, the Baptists didn't have everything right all the time. There were some other people outside of that who did some great things for God. D.L. Moody is one of them. And D.L. Moody was at one of these meetings where they're going to have a conference and they're going to talk about how to reach people. Great conference, right? Great idea for a conference. So he goes to the song leader, Ira Sank, and he goes, Ira, I want you to come with me. And I want you to meet me at this day or at this afternoon at 5 o'clock. We're gonna meet at these street corners. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to come and I want you to sing as loud as you can about Jesus. So Ira gets to that street corner and he gets up and he starts singing for Jesus. Draws a crowd. They come in. D.O. Moody starts giving them the gospel and goes, if you want to know more, come with me. And they go to the place where the convention is going to happen. He preaches to those people. And by the way, many of them get saved. Amen. And right about that time, someone comes and they go, Brother Moody, we're about to start the conference. Sorry to interrupt, but we got to start this conference now. And he looks to the small congregation he just gathered. And he goes, sorry, guys, we got to stop talking to you about Jesus because we're going to learn about how to reach others for Christ. You get the irony there? You could go to all the seminars, you could go to all the great conferences, and you could learn all these great techniques and learn The Way of the Master by Ray Comfort. I love it, nothing wrong with it. All that stuff, but you know what you just need to learn to do? Just tell someone what Jesus did for you. I heard a story about a man that was drowning at sea, and right before that guy drowned at sea, there was another man on that boat who was seasick. And I've told my kids and my family this. I may be one of the strangest Puerto Ricans. I prefer being in the mountains versus the water. I just do. I like stuff that stays still when I'm on it, all right? I like going to the beach. I think it's beautiful. But, man, like, you know, the idea of being on a boat, you know, on a cruise ship, or just, I remember when we were living in Puerto Rico during the 90s when my dad was in Desert Storm, we were staying on the island of Vieques with my grandma and grandpa. If you don't know what that is, get a map, check it out. There's two islands off the coast of Puerto Rico, Culebra and Vieques, and we were in Vieques, and I had to take a boat to go to school. And I remember like probably after the third time of tossing up my cookies, my sisters go, Mom, he's disgusting. We don't want to do this anymore. He said, oh, what is it? I don't like it, man. This guy was no different. He's on this boat. He's seasick. So you know what he does? He goes to his room. He takes some medicine. And he just tries to do whatever it is you do. You go, okay, I'm not imagining I'm on a boat. I'm imagining something else. They've told me, you know, get your eyes on one fixed point. Well, I don't know if that works really well when you're rocking back and forth. This guy that was sick was in that boat, and he hears a bunch of clatter, and he hears a bunch of noise outside. And he runs out, and he's still not feeling so great. And there's some men. A man had jumped and fallen overboard, and he was drowning, and it was dark. And they had put a pole in the water for him to grab, but he couldn't see the pole. And as the story goes, that man goes down, and he comes back up. And he saves as much breath as he can, but he's kicking as most people do when they're panicked. And he goes down one more time and he says, God, if I can't make it out this last time, I'm gone. And he swims back up, gets as much breath as he can. And right about that time, that man that was seasick was leaning against the boat. And he looked over and he realized, I can't do much right now, but I can shine a light down there. Right about that time, that guy sees the light, grabs that pole, and the rest is history. And that guy, when he gets out of the water, he runs and he tells that guy, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he goes, man, I didn't do a whole lot. All I could do was hold a light. Let me just say this, Christian. You may not feel like you can do a lot, but you can hold the light. You can hold the light. I want you to notice, go back to Mark chapter number 7. Who are the people that God uses? People that are messes. What is the method that God uses? The same process he's always used. And I want you to notice, without there being this miracle moment in your life, we talk about great moments in sports, you know, we're at the buzzer, that someone shoots a three from half court and they come to life, you know, or, you know, at the last second, the guy throws a Hail Mary and six people jump up and the quarterback tips the ball. He thinks he has it and the safety bumps it again. And somehow magically the tight end, who never ran that route before, falls down on the ground with the ball in his hands. Touchdown in the place. Ah, I can't believe it. We've never seen anything like this before. We'll always remember this event. And they say that every time something great happens. But truly, there's a miracle moment in your life where you went from death to life, when you went from darkness to light. And without that moment in your life, you have no chance of helping anybody else. You've got no story to tell. Look, if you would, at Mark chapter number 7, and I want you to look at verse number 33, Mark 7, in verse 33, and the Bible says, he took him aside, this is Jesus, took the man aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue and looked up to heaven and he sighed and said to him, Epaphra, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. Guys, can I say it like this? There's another story about a man that Jesus heals, and he opens his eyes. And he says, I see men as trees walking. And then Jesus touches him again. He says, I see all men clearly. Aren't you glad that when you got saved, man, the light started to come on? Some of the things that didn't make sense before about God and about the Bible, they started to make sense. You say, what was that? Without that moment of Jesus doing exactly what he does, it's an individual moment. Look at verse 33. He takes that man aside. You know what God does? Out of 7 billion people on the planet, he stops what he's doing, and he hears a sinner saying, God, save me. And he comes down and goes, what is it? How can I help? You want my son? Here's eternal life. Let me give you a new family. Let me get you into the family of God. Let me give you a Bible. Let me give you a church. God does that. You say, what does he do? He stops what he's doing, and he takes time with the individual. I don't want to preach politics, but I want to stress one thing right now. It is not just about social this and social that and social response. It's about individualism with God and your own walk with God and your own salvation in Christ. That is an individual thing. It is not, okay, I'm part of this church and therefore I'm saved. There's a moment where God took you aside as an individual and said, let me open your ears. Let me open your mouth. It's an insightful moment. You know, the same God that said, let there be light. I always like talking with people who don't believe in God. And they, well, what about evolution? Okay, let's talk about that. Let's go back. Well, before they evolved, what was there? Well, there was this amoeba. Where did that come from? Well, there was a spark, and it was a big explosion. I said, and you know that? Yeah? You were there. And you can prove that. Well, okay, so you have faith in a story that someone told you. I've got some historical proof.
Amen. That's right.
And I've got countless lives who've been changed because of one man named Jesus Christ. And I've got prophecy that comes through every time.
Yeah.
That same God that says, let there be light, is the God that said, be opened. Aren't you glad he opened your eyes? And your mind to the right stuff, in your ears, in your mouth. Hey, I like this. In verse 35, it's an immediate moment. There may be, let me say this, there may be a process that led up to your salvation. My dad tells a story about how some Spanish guys in Germany knocked on his door, and they started talking to him about God. And he's like, you know, I tried that once, and I know all about the Bible. You know, have you ever met people that, like, they think they know the Bible? You know, and let's, you know, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but that was my dad. Oh, yeah, I've read that book before, you know. Then you start asking them, you know, questions about, and they're like, oh, I don't remember that one. No, I don't remember that. I don't, you know, I'm going to forget one time I knocked on the door of a guy here in Aurora. And he goes, well, I can't believe the Bible. I said, really? Okay, so why is that? He's a college kid, which means he knows everything. And he said, I said, why is that? He goes, well, there's mistakes in the Bible. Can you show me one? Best answer I've ever gotten this. True story. Man, I know it's in here somewhere. I said, well, how about this? When you find it, let me know. Never had heard from that guy. But aren't you glad that even though there may have been a process that led up to your salvation, it wasn't, salvation was not, is not a process. It is a moment in time. And without that moment in time, you know what you don't have? You don't have a story about how Jesus saved you. I don't ever want to make you doubt your own salvation. But if someone here or someone online isn't saved, can I say this? You need that miracle moment in your life. And if you're saved, can I say this? Someone outside these four walls should know it. Mark 7, look if you would at verse 36. I'm almost sure someone at some point in history wished the Lord had told them this, but I want you to notice that what God does, he gives a mandate for them not to tell, and yet they do exactly the opposite. But can I point something else out about this? I want you to notice in verse 36 when it says so much the more they published it, Jesus never stops and goes, I thought I told you. I mean, right? Am I right about that? He never says, now listen, parents, don't use this as an excuse to be soft and fluffy with your kids, all right? You draw the line, you got to stick to the line, all right? Not like the red line that some presidents have drawn, then they redraw another red line, then another red line. I mean, like, you draw the line, draw the line. But Jesus clearly says, hey, I don't want you guys doing that, but I have this feeling, I just do. You ever find your kids doing something you told them not to do, but you just can't find it in you to get upset? And you're like, no, that's cute. Am I right? Anybody that has kids knows what I'm talking about. I wonder if they go out and they just publish his name and they tell, man, you got to come meet this Jesus. You got to come see Jesus. You got to know who this guy is. What's his name? His name is Jesus. Man, well, doesn't that mean Jehovah saves? Exactly. He's going to be the Savior. You got to come meet this guy. Let me introduce you to him. And I wonder if Jesus is going, oh, they never listen. If they're not going to listen, let it be for something like this. I mean, does he rebuke them? He rebukes Peter when he goes, I mean, guys, think about this. Stop for a moment. He tells, I'm going to die, I'm going to be betrayed. And Peter goes, not so, Lord. We're going to stand by you through thick and thin. We will not let anyone touch you. We'll die with you if we got to. And Jesus goes, get thee behind me, Satan. Whoo. In another place in Mark 7, he goes, don't tell anybody. And they blazed it abroad. And I just have this feeling he's just probably like, oh, well, I'm committed now. Right? See, what's the message? Oh, the message is simple. But let me just say this much about it. The world is not going to praise you for promoting Jesus. They won't. I will tell you, because of my secular job, I'm on a platform called LinkedIn. And so I use it and I throw scripture out there. And I'll have Christians message me and go, man, I'm just glad to see a Christian put scripture out there. Amen. Now, I only mention that because you have no idea who is around you that needs to hear this. It's not always a lost person. Sometimes it's a believer that needs to be encouraged that they can do it as well. I read a story about a man named Charles Bradlaugh. He was an infidel. And he challenged a guy, a preacher named H.P. Hughes, to a debate. And the preacher was not some great, you know, theological seminary, you know, graduate. He was just, honestly, you know what his ministry was? Dealing with drunkards. He was a preacher at a rescue mission. Anybody ever spend time at a rescue mission? Hey, let me tell you something. It's not a glorious ministry. You're helping folks who are vomiting on themselves. You're helping folks who smell. You're helping folks who, frankly, a lot of you wouldn't want to hang out with. And here's this preacher taking his time, his life goal, his commitment of life and spirit is these people who, for the most part, they've cut off their family ties. They've cut off all their ties to the civilized world. They don't have jobs. They don't have homes. They have ruined their lives. And here's this preacher, humble preacher, H.P. Hughes, and here's this scientific atheist comes in and he goes, hey, I want to have a debate with you. You're always preaching about Jesus, and I hear you talking about this Jesus guy, and you know what? Let's have a debate. The preacher prays about it, and he says, that's fine, on one condition. Each of us is allowed to bring 100 people to our debate. You can bring 100 people whose lives have been changed by atheism and whose lives have been changed and transformed due to the power of humanism and skepticism of the Word of God. And I'll bring 100 people whose lives have been touched by a man who is still touching lives today. And as history teaches us, the preacher showed up. The agnostic atheist man never did. You see, what happened at that debate? Oh, it just turned out to be a great testimony time. People just started getting up and talking about what Jesus did for them. Return the cross to Golgotha. I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace, as well as on the steeple of the church. I'm recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on a town garbage heap, at a crossroad of politics so cosmopolitan that they had to write his title in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek, and at the kind of place where cynics talk smut and thieves curse and soldiers gamble. Because that's where he died. And that's what he died about. And that's where Christ's people ought to be and what church people ought to be about. The message is personal, it's pointed, it's practical, it's powerful. And it's perpetual. It goes on and on and on and on. One day, D.L. Moody was walking down a Chicago street, and he walks up to a man, and he says, sir, do you know Jesus Christ? And the man said, blankety-blanket away from me. That is none of your business. Mind your own business. And without batting an eye, he just gets a little closer to the man, and he says, sir, I will have you pardon me and excuse me, sir, but it is my business. I can point others to him. I can preach him. And I can promote him. I want to close with Acts chapter number 4. Go there with me if you would. Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, verse number 18. Actually, let me back you up a little bit. This is interesting wording in your Bible. Verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Can I say that when you live for Christ, you know it's really hard to do? And you promote Jesus, and you talk about him, and you preach him, and you tell others about him. You know what it's hard to do? It's hard for people to deny that. In verse 17, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to contain and flatten the curve of the gospel. Contain the spread, flatten the curve. All right? That it spread no further. So keep your distance and shut up about Jesus. That it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they call them and command them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, that's what heaven is all about. It's all about him. The throne. You know, most people's living room center on the TV. I'm not saying you're, some of you are like, okay, is he going to preach against, calm down. I'm just saying that's how it works for most homes. You know, for me, it's the refrigerator, right? That's that. The heart of our home is the kitchen. Literally, it's right there in the middle. But, you know, you put things in your rooms with a central focal point. If people were to look at your life, they go, man, right at the middle of that person's life, man, at the center of all they talk about, at the center of what they sing about, at the center of what they want, man, it just seems to be all about Jesus. Or would they be like Lot's sons-in-law, where they go, you're a Christian? Never heard anything about Jesus from your mouth before. Oh, no, preacher, they see me, they know I go to church, and I don't talk bad, and I live right, and I'm separated, and I don't run with, you know, I don't chew, I don't drink, I don't run with them that do, I don't dance, I don't do this, I don't do... Your spirituality is not measured by the list of things you don't do. Are you promoting Jesus? Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. The altar's open. Maybe you need to make a new commitment. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you and he wants you to specifically talk to somebody in your life about Jesus. Maybe it's a matter of you just evaluating how much of your speech and of your life and of your mission and what drives you and motivates you is not connected to the person of Jesus. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Man, if you're excited about him, you're motivated by him, and you can't wait to speak about him, it'll come out. Are we promoting him as we ought? Christian, let me say this about your life. It'll never be all about Jesus if you're not willing to promote him. Tell others about him. Who's that person in your life that God's saying, talk to them? Well, they know where I stand on vaccines. They know where I stand on politics. They know where I stand on all this crazy coronavirus stuff. They need to know about Jesus. They need to see people that smile in the midst of all these crazy things. They need to see people that sing about a man they've never met. That endlessly speak about someone that they've never seen with their physical eyes. You young people, you need to promote him. You say, I'll do it when I get older. It won't get easier. Do it now. Do it now. Make that commitment now. If I could have you seated for just a moment, and then we'll, after this is all done, we'll have our ushers usher everybody out. But as I mentioned, the Schleers would like to join New Heights Baptist Church. Anybody else excited about that? Amen. Amen. Now, let me just say this. If somewhere in the month of November they're gone, it's not because I offended them. Okay? They have a home in Florida that they go to in the wintertime. I want to get that out of the way now in case someone thinks that I messed you guys up, all right? But I've known them for, let me do the math here, 1992, 28 years, so a long time. And I'm very, very thankful that they would like to come and join with us today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite them to come here to the front and just give a brief testimony about why they want to become a part of this church. I can tell you this, they're saved. They love the Lord. They've served God for years. If you want to know how I went to Bolivia, it was because they had gone there as missionaries. And when I was a young person, Mrs. Schlier decided, I look back on those things and I go, how and why would she do it? Because we were a pain in the rear. And she decided to take us and drive us from Denver or Colorado Springs all the way down to Miami and then fly from Miami to South America. But that trip changed my life. That burdened my heart for missions. That solidified some things for me about my calling to preach. So they've had an impact on my life like the Hosses have, and it's been a blessing to see them again and just to know that they want to be a part of this church. So if you would come on up and give a testimony, I greatly appreciate it.
Like Adrian said, I knew him from quite a few years. Well, I was a bus driver at a Gideon Baptist Church where I met them, driving for Sunday school, Bible school. And I got to know Adrian very well. And matter of fact, he was my son's. They were best friends there. And I came to know the Lord in 1972, 48 years ago. 5 years before I married my wife. I mean, 5 months before I come to know my wife. And I know she was praying for me.
Amen.
She said that she wanted a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now he's got me crying. I'm supposed to talk. Well, praise the Lord. Yes. And I encourage you teenagers and you young people, pray for your spouse now.
Yeah.
Pray earnestly that the Lord brings you the right person who is a Christian, who loves the Word of God. That is most important. You can go through marriage with Christ. How anyone does it without Christ is beyond my comprehension. Christ is all in all. I came to know Christ 60 years ago when I was 11 years old. When I realized my need of Christ, my need of salvation, I was in Sunday school. I don't know the teacher's name. Have no idea. I don't even know if the teacher was a male or female, but I knew Christ needed. I needed him, and I accepted him. I came away that morning out of Sunday school, having no idea what happened in church, because I was so enthralled with the fact that Christ loved me. My favorite song is Jesus Loves Me.
Amen.
Think about that. The God who created the whole universe loves you. When I realized that, I wanted to shout it from the housetops. I still do. 60 years later, I still want to shout it from the housetops.
Amen.
I want to tell the individuals. We have scripture on our car, on our van, and on our RV, and people do make comments. A lot of positive comments and some not so positive. Someone said, aren't you a little afraid to have those signs on your car that people might be aggressive? I said, no, because God is with me. We are happy to be here. We are happy to sit under the preaching of someone we've saw grow up. And Lacey also, when she came to Gideon, well, she's a changed creature. We have stories.
No, they don't want to hear those stories.
But praise the Lord. Christ is our all in all. And he has brought us here. He has provided for us, and he will continue to do so, we know, because he doesn't change.
Amen. Well, let me just say this. All those that are glad that they're here joining with us today, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, normally we do a right hand of fellowship. If you guys want to do like an air high five from where you're at, okay, there you go. All right. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask my preacher, Brother Billy Haas, if you would, now a member of our church. And by the way, I know he's already gone to the Indian Center to see about just making some connections there to try to minister to that community. Right. Glad to have you here, brother. If you would close us in a word of prayer. Yeah, amen.
They're full of confusion. God, you're not the author.
Amen.
Thank you for the church and the unity that is here and the Bible that knits us all together.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. The ushers will help you out from the back to the front. If you guys want to use the hand sanitizer on your way out, you're welcome to do that as well. Hope to see you here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We will be open Wednesday night for midweek Bible study. Amen. So don't go anywhere quite yet.